Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 8th of August, recording at 9:12 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Well, my goodness, it was another day of real rock and roll. We had some strong gains in Asia. I think yesterday Asia, well, now let me get on with a review. One of the biggest was the Hang Seng Index, up 2.87% at 628 points, and I think the Indian market was up even more. And the European markets were firm pretty well all day, then when Wall Street came in and strengthened after a modest opening, the European markets surged, so we had some chunky gains, a number of them over 2%, one of the best that I see, the Swiss SMI. Remember, that bank-heavy index had really underperformed, and it was up 2.5% here today, and the UK, one of the smaller gains, but still up 1.35%. or 85 points on the FTSE 100 index. Wall Street, but this is where we got the rock and roll, because, as I said, this started modestly, then rallied steadily. About, I think, an hour before the close, it was up, I think, 188 points on the Dow, lost the whole thing, moved to the minus side, and then ended up 153 points on the Dow, 20 on the S&P, nearly 21 on the S&P, 51 on the NASDAQ Composite Index. That meant gains of well over 1%, 2% for the NASDAQ. And in the government bonds, these were hit hard here today against the background of this stock market advance, not surprisingly. And elsewhere, the US dollar was weaker here today, currently showing with the euro is at 137.96. That's up 59 ticks here. The US dollar index itself is down 171 ticks at 80.30. And the price of crude oil, a little bit easier in here again today. That's taken quite a hit in recently. Gold was a bit firmer, up 220 on bullion at 674.60. And the industrial metals were mostly a bit easier, still led on the downside by nickel. And one or two of those were up. Copper was also down. Lead was down. I think the only one that was up on the day, yes, was zinc. Soft commodities were firmer, particularly wheat, which has been hitting new highs on a regular basis. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, you know, if you had taken bets, if any of us had taken bets on Friday as to whether or not Wall Street could regain half of its earlier losses by the end of Wednesday, let alone some other markets doing even better than that, I don't think we would have had many takers, because certainly there was a huge amount of bearish sentiment. We had seen some dramatic selling, not least by the investment banking shares, which had been underperforming for a long time and absolutely plunged. Well, as you know, they all turned around on Monday with these big upside key day reversals. Those were, as Owen said, textbook signals from the chart seminar. And they are up for the third day in a row here today. And given the dynamics that we see on the stock market indices generally, and they've covered the last week. I think that I don't want to give the upside the benefit of the doubt now. In other words, when Owen and I had been saying from Monday onwards that we had lows of at least near-term significance, I think now I would say that I'll give those lows the benefit of the doubt. In other words, we would have to, because of the upward dynamics, and that we would have to see closes below the recent lows to indicate a further correction. Now, if that's all we get, and I admit that's kind of a best case scenario, if that's all we get in terms of the sell-off, then it's been quite a modest medium-term correction. Modest correction might not even turn out to be medium-term, but certainly a modest correction, except for, say, the financial shares, which had been coming down for a considerably longer period. And then there are some markets where we could say, well, this doesn't qualify as a correction at all because they had barely blinked. And some didn't even blink, such as China. And a few other markets, a few of these smaller Middle Eastern markets, and I think a few of the smaller East European markets didn't blink. Okay. So, what do we think? Well, again, I emphasize the importance of those reaction lows that we have seen either earlier this week or late last week. While those hold, I'll give the upside the benefit of the doubt. Again, I do not see grounds for a bear market in this environment. And stock markets, I was hesitating here, thinking out loud, maybe a little bit premature to say that they're healthier for the shakeout. That really does require further evidence that we have actually seen the lows. Of course, you don't get that evidence conclusively until well after the event. But those of you who have been listening to audios for a year or two will know that following previous downward reactions, we have often seen a crescendo of bearish commentary near the lows. And yet, once the charts started to put in the upward dynamics, straight again from textbook material from the chart seminar, we'll back the market. And that those upward dynamics have signaled very important lows in the past, and they might just have done so again this time. If I hesitate and am not more confident that we have seen the lows indicated by those dynamics, it is because, as I have mentioned before, there is a fundamental story, mainly the credit problems, behind the sell-off. Previously, markets were just overextended. This time, they were overextended and also had the credit market problems, which have caused some very considerable concern in a number of quarters, and not without some good reason. Okay, today I have reviewed my investment portfolio in terms of its top 10 positions, and I'm really rather gratified to see how little damage has occurred in that portfolio. Where the damage has occurred with positions such as Cameco, it hasn't had all that much to do with recent events. But fortunately, the two biggest positions, and I only mention this just because I know a lot of subscribers have significant positions in these investments, my China fund investment and my India fund investment, I mean, these have barely blinked. When you see the chart of the China fund, it'll be lagging, it's a day behind because it is a fund, not a traded vehicle. But I certainly expect it to be up tomorrow. Now, moving onwards, what about bonds? I've said all along that these long-dated government bonds were going to do nothing other, at least for the short term, than take their cue from stock markets. So, weak stock markets, you had a bond, you saw a bond market rally. Strengthening stock markets, real evidence that buying demand is coming back into stock markets, and that the long-dated government bonds would wilt. So, just as stock markets have established lows of at least near-term significance, long-dated government bond markets have established rally peaks in terms of the futures markets. Those would be reaction lows in terms of the yields of at least near-term significance. I would not want to be long those long-dated government bonds right now. I've said previously that once the rally in stock markets, I beg your pardon, once the sell-off in stock markets was over, I've said that the bonds would be a short. And if you believe that the rally in the this that so I'm a little tired. If you believe that the sell-off in stock markets is over, then bonds are trading shorts. I'll just repeat that. If you believe that the sell-off in stock markets is over, then the bond futures are trading shorts. And US dollar, I maintain that the US needs a soft currency, and having seen some short covering recently in the US dollar as it got down to that psychological and historic 80 level on the US dollar index. I think that we have, again, when I say we've seen some of that short covering, that has reduced the short-term oversold position in the US dollar index. I don't think it's got much upside scope, and the best that I envisage is a slightly larger trading range and then heading lower. In terms of other currencies, the resources group is strong. Sterling is pretty firm in here. But the hardest currencies are the resources producers. But of course, governments in those countries are not keen to have their currencies appreciating. Actually, no government or central bank is that keen to have its currency appreciating, as I've mentioned, for a very, very long time. Particularly, they don't want to see a strong currency in this highly competitive environment caused by globalization. And that ultimately will be the gold story. Meanwhile, gold is quiet and ranging in what looks to me to be the latter stages of a medium-term consolidation prior to its next upward move. The grain and bean complex has firmed in here, and that does risk some commodity price inflation. Now, we had that earlier in the year, and then the sector saw some sharp corrections, but it is strengthening again, so that needs to be watched. And crude oil, last but not least, this is a typical sort of rally back to an important peak, and markets hesitating at that level, backing away. I expect the crude price to range for a while. I don't think it'll go much below 70, if that. And then we will eventually see an upward break, but not for a few weeks yet, and possibly even a few months. And I think that's pretty much it. So, all the best, and we'll continue it all tomorrow.